Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Now, what we all witnessed as a country yesterday just goes to show the passion and the pride sport brings to a nation, and the voices that bring us those emotional highs in terms of commentary ring loud and long in our memories. I listened to the match yesterday on radio. I listened to Thursday's match on radio, and the commentary was just the painting of those pictures. Well, Keela's Colm O'Snoody and former Gaelic footballer Daro Caneja have joined forces to honour the late, great Micheál Ó Muirchertach in a special tribute event at Irish Language Literary Festival, IMRAM 2025, continuing into this weekend. Colm is here with us in studio, and Daro's on the line. Good afternoon to you both.
How are you?
Good afternoon, Chip.
How are you, Colm? How are you, Daro? That's Daro on the phone there in the background. What a day to be talking about Micheál Ó Muirchertach as well, and about sport and sport in general. Look, you've loads. We've loads to talk about. We've got music. We've got IMRAM. We've got Micheál as well. Colm, tell us a little bit about IMRAM for people who aren't familiar with it.
Well, IMRAM is an Irish language literary festival, and it's on the go around 20 years. I'd say, I don't know the exact date, and it has. It's like a 2-week festival. It has events for reading poetry. It has reimagining of. Some poets, like, or even some songwriters' works. So Bob Dylan translated into Irish, or Leonard Cohen translated into Irish. So it keeps the scope of literature quite wide. And I get asked to do occasional things here and there, you know, accompany people, write a couple of songs here. So this year I was asked, would I participate in doing stuff for Micheál Ó Muirchertach, and I said, yeah, I'll do it. And so I've written a couple of songs and a couple of tunes, and I've been slogging on it, if truth be told. You know, they're good, but I'm slogging.
When's it to be ready for?
Well, Friday. I'm okay.
It's Monday.
Yeah, Monday. I know, yeah.
We'll have a listen to Micheál, will we?
Yeah.
We're listening to Sunday Sports on Radio 1, and so the internet and everything. Could we say in Chinese, Ni Hao Ma, that means Kunda Satato in Chinese? About how my greyhound performed at Shelbourne Park last night than the impending hurling final. He's doing better at the hurling today than the greyhound did at the horrors last night. A little bit of a skirmish developing now. I don't know whether he'll take names. If he does, he'll need a new notebook. The game is over, and the dream of a horse 3 in a row has ended.
And the pipes in the background there as well.
Honest God, I presume the pipes weren't playing while he was commentating.
It could have been. Daro, you knew Micheál really well. You had a professional relationship with him, but it was on a more personal level as well.
We did, yeah. He's from home, pretty much. Like, he's from a place called Dunsheen, about a mile or two east of Dingle, and we would have had a professional relationship with him, I suppose, through Radio on the Gaeslacht, and I got to know him over 30 years ago when I was playing with Kerry. He used to ramble casually into the dressing room with the match programme in his hand when nobody else could ramble casually into the dressing room, even to this day. He had a brilliant knack of kind of being a part of the wallpaper inside in Croke Park dressing rooms and just kind of sitting down and having the banter. Like, but he, parts of Micheál, I'd say, never left West Kerry, never left Dunsheen. And, you know, he was kind of an avuncular figure for all of us. Like, it was nice to see Micheál, to greet Micheál above him, the big smoke there in Dublin, anytime you'd see him. Like, he was our Kerry man in Croke Park, and Seth and Conahula were our great ambassadors for Kerry up in Dublin all the time.
He was obviously very close to Kerry, and it was in his heart, and very close to the team, but he kept it professional.
Oh, he did, absolutely. I mean, he was a complete pro when it came to commentary. I think if you listen to any of his commentaries, even if Kerry are playing, he's non-partisan. Over the years, you look at every particular memory, even of playing Kildare one particular year in 1998 in an All-Ireland semi-final, and we didn't know it at the time, but one of their key players was out injured, and Micheál rambled into our dressing room and would have known that, because his job would have been to collect that information and to, you know, to be prepared for his commentary minutes later. Like, but he never revealed that to us at any time. And I found out afterwards that yes, he did know it, but of course he was just being a pro. He was being a consummate professional, and I think what the world heard on the airwaves afterwards was a non-partisan commentary from somebody who just was in love with the games of football and hurling in particular.
Here he is talking about the responsibility of a commentator.
11,340, and I know one man who's not here. He's Vinnie Bateman, the man that jumped in his bike in Mullingar, the target is to reach Beijing collecting money for concerting. He was in Istanbul for the National Hurling League final on Sunday last. He's reached Tbilisi in Georgia, heading for Iran.
I think that is the one duty of a commentator, you know, to commentate on what you see, not what you'd like to see. Because those two things can be miles apart. And a commentator's duty is to give as much information as they can about what is actually happening. That's what the listener wants. He doesn't want any bias or anything like that. He wants to know what is actually happening.
There's an art to being a commentator, Colm, as well as you can hear that rhythm and cadence in his voice. There's a lyric quality to it, lyrical quality to it.
Yeah, I think it's only the few that reach his kind of level, like Micheál O'Hare. You talk about bias. Do you remember Philip Green? If Rovers were losing, he'd talk about seagulls or anything except the football match. He wasn't as lyrical as like Micheál O'Hare was the original, but Micheál Muir Arctic, I think, superseded him. I think he had like the rhythm of the language, and in both English and Irish, that was the amazing thing. He could switch between both. Even if he was, let's say, leading in Irish, he could switch to English, and it was so effortless and beautiful. You'd listen to it and he was just bouncing along, and bouncing might be the wrong kind of word, because there was a flow in it. You could hear him. Does he take a breath? You know, he's put in 10 sentences, or let's say 8 sentences, and he hasn't taken a breath, and like, as he was saying, give as much information as possible. I wouldn't have really wanted to know who's cycling to Beijing on a particular morning, but it's fantastic in the middle of a game that he somehow finds some kind of segue into cyclist to burn. It's amazing. It really is amazing.
It is amazing. And commentators, contemporaries of mine who work here as well, would cite Micheál as inspiration. And you can hear some of them using those techniques as well. Dara, how did you get roped into this?
It's an honour, of course. I've participated.
Oh,
great opportunity to I suppose keep the memory of Micheál alive. Micheál passed away in June 2024, and you know, the fact that we're still talking about him and we will continue to talk about him in 10 years' time is great. And there's been many, many events since June 2024 honouring Micheál. The local GA club here in Dingle have just announced that they're renaming their new sports complex in his memory. The MTU, the Inside and Tralee, the University Inside and Tralee have named their sports hall in memory of Micheál. There's all these little things happening all over the country, and this is a lovely way of, you know, giving Micheál a platform. You know, a person dies once, but they die twice if they're forgotten. I don't think Micheál is ever going to be forgotten. I think he's going to be spoken about in, you know, hushed tones for a long, long time, you know, in respectful tones. And it's a nice thing to be roped into. And Imram is a lovely festival. I think it once a year, as Colm said there, every November, there's a 2-week event, you know, in different locations around the city. And it's great that the Irish language is front and centre, because Micheál loved the language and loved everything about the language, and did his best no more than Colm's father, Páirc Uisnech, the great guy, man that passed away earlier on this year as well, to promote the language and put the language front and centre in everything they did. Like, and you know, those of us who live in the Gaeltacht all the time are very, very proud of that and very grateful for that effort that was made.
Colm, you have the guitar with you.
I do.
Will you give us a little bit of what you might hear if you go along to the show?
Yeah, it's a shortened version of a song called Dún Sheehan, which is kind of imagining the return to Dún Sheehan. It's quite simple, but here we go. It's a little waltz. Dún Sheehan, Philip Sheehan, Dún Sheehan, Bráchaí Dún Sheehan, Danganus Cantro, Dúchain Dún Anó, Bhúrachas Fionn. Hey.
Sheehan, Don Sheehan.
It's this gorgeous wee song, Gahinta Colum. There you go. Isn't that lovely? Just Colum and Dara mentioned as well, your own dad.
Yeah, he passed away January the 2nd. He thought he'd make the 90, but he didn't quite. He was 5 months shy of the 90. Yeah, it's, you know yourself, it's, grieving is a funny process. For a long time, I'd use my voice memos. I'd ring him every day, as I used to keep the... Keep it up. And so, for example, Ronan's young fella played for, he's out in the academy in Bray Wanderers, and he played for Ireland under 15 in the soccer. And the first thing I wanted to do was, and I know he's my nephew, but I just wanted to ring my dad, or I wanted to bring him along, or that's the first thing I wanted to do, or ring my mum, who passed away 2 years earlier. So it always stays with you. It's, you know, somebody who passed away, they're just kind of to the left here or to the right here. It's.
And Michal did an interview with Gay Byrne where he spoke about that belief that the dead would come out at night and play sports and then would disappear again with the first light of day.
There's another bit of that some guy got roped into a game and he didn't play as well. He was cursed afterwards.
I was giving it the positive spin there. What would your dad think of what you just said? You've let yourself down.
Well, maybe he's there playing.
Maybe he is. Actually,
he wasn't a good player.
Michal spoke about the meaning of life.
I think most people don't think about death. You know, like you look towards the end of the rainbow. It's out there somewhere, and the somewhere could be nearer. It could be farther away, but... It was great consolation to read recently that the first person to live to be 130 years in Ireland has already been born. There's nothing wrong with saying that person could be me. But I haven't actually thought about it yet. Maybe now that I'll do a little bit of thinking about it. But I'd be hoping that it's far off. I don't think it's something to be scared of, and I think that's one of the things that religion, you know, teaches you.
Dara, Michal's passing, it left a void in so many people's lives.
It did. You know, he had retired, I suppose, from public life maybe 10 or 12 years previously from commentating on games. We were fortunate to have him with us until he was 90 years of age and beyond with Radio na Gaeltacht every Monday morning. You know, you'd ring him and Helen Ihe, the presenter, would ask, how will you know be healed? Where are you today, Michal? Because Michal could be anywhere. He could be in Augusta. He could be in Shelton. He could be anywhere. He could be sitting across the table from you there, as Colm is at the moment. That's where he was. And he always, it was never really about, you know, how, you know, both teams won and lost the previous day, because that was his brief, I suppose, to talk about Sunday's games on the Monday morning. But he just filled people's days, I think, with, you know, with glory, really. You know, the game might have been an awful game on a Sunday, but on a Monday morning on Radio na Gaeltacht there, he'd have it elevated. He'd have the mundane elevated, like, and I think he took a lot of people out of their, you know, this time of the year in particular, out of their kind of bog sadness, as his great friend John Moriarty used to say. You know, that he was able to give them something more than just the game. And I think that came from the fact that he loved the game so much. He glorified the game. He respected the players. He was curious about people. He was curious about human nature. And all that fed into any conversation you would have with him on the air. And all that fed into his commentary as well. Like, I mean, those little digressions down Bordine Eile that we would have heard there earlier about people cycling to Beijing, they were just so common and so casual within it. And, you know, nobody before him had done it as well, I think, and nobody since it's done better. He was the commentator nonpareil. Like, he really was. Like, he just loved the game and loved the words, in particular the language around the game between English and Irish. And he was great friends with Micheál O'Shea, a former colleague of mine in Reading and Galway, and they'd spend endless hours debating particular turns of phrases and words and ways of saying things and ways of being. I remember them having a conversation once over the phone, listening to Halfpenny Peeves talking about, you know, the 30 or 40 different words for being unconscious, what type of being knocked out you were on the field of play. And the following Sunday, then he'd have it presented to the listeners, like, you know, he's this type of knocked out as opposed to the other type that Micheál O'Shea was describing the previous week. That's the stuff that they marveled and reveled in. And it was just such a pleasure to listen to them. And as you say, it did leave a big void, and it will. But, you know, I remember asking Micheál, I attended an All-Ireland hurling final with him in 2018, Limerick were playing Galway. I remember asking him casually during the game, like, you know, he had retired at this stage. He'd retired, I suppose, about 8 years. And I said, do you miss it? And he says, no, not at all. He says, there'll always be other commentators. There'll always be games next week. There'll always be players next year, you know. And he had that, and you heard it there, him talking about living to 130 and such. He had that thing always. He was always saying never to be afraid to try something new. And he really believed in that whole Irish saying, Mulla Noig is Tuckashy. He loved, you know, bigging up the young lads and, you know, making them feel good about themselves. He would have coached Kerry teams in Dublin in the 70s and 80s, and he was famous for telling Jack O'Shea, one of the great players like of the time, saying, I've never seen you better. I've never seen you moving better. He'd fill people with confidence. He had that gift, you know, that you walked away from him feeling 10 foot tall. And that's a rare gift too, you know.
I think he had that thing that's very unique on the radio, particularly, that when people turned on the radio and heard his voice, they felt that they were listening to a friend, and that friend was talking directly to them.
And it's like coming home, you know, that lovely piece there that Colm had for both Dún Sheehan. You felt you were coming home, no matter where in the world you were. If you're tuning into a Munster hurling final with Micheál O'Meara commentating on it, you're at home, you know. And people borrowed his phrases all over the world, like, you know, famously greetings to our friends in Brazil, Paul Durkin's poetry, and all that stuff is feeding into what Micheál O'Meara was to the game, you know. There was a story back in West Kerry years ago in the 80s. Kerry were playing Dublin in 1984 All-Ireland final. I think Micheál's own brother, Paddy Moriarty, wasn't present. He was in the company of the Taoiseach, I think, Charles Haughey. They said, we're going to miss the game. The television wasn't working where they were. And it was Micheál's own brother that said, don't worry about that. We'll see it better on the radio with Micheál. You know, that was him. You know, and those pictures, the words that he used to paint, you know, as Micheál O'Shea said in his eulogy when Micheál died last year, you know, at the funeral mass, he said, like, you know, he was Picasso, you know, with words, you know, the emotion of the game became words and words became emotion. Like, he was just at one with the game in front of him, you know, and that's a unique, unique gift.
And Dara, he wasn't afraid to try new things. Have a listen to this.
I would then get ham that's boiled at all. And Kate Rodelia and Hinshin Shinna, couple of tomato doll. I would place those not too near each other. And now it's made now, except divided it into two equal halves. I don't like the modern idea of making two triangles out of it. Bread was never meant to be triangular.
He became an internet sensation. Honest to God. And we were talking about music. I mean, he did that Hurler's Prayer with Lana. I got a little bit of that. Excuse me, Dara, for a second. I'll just play this. A Hurler's Prayer with Lana Del Rey's music.
Grant me, O Lord, a hurler's skill with strength of arm and speed of limb. Unerring eye for the flying ball and courage to match.
If you get a chance, you'll see that on YouTube and numerous other ones. Like, Nothing Compares to You, when he did that, the Sinead O'Connor
song.
That's
priceless. Nothing Compares to You was priceless. You know, that line, you know, I went to the doctor and guess what he told me? Guess what he said, whatever, you know. And then the riposte, but he's a fool. And of course, Micheál kind of had, but he's a fool. And I'm a don, he said.
So
it's just, you know, making his own of it. Yeah.
We could do 15 hours on this and just scratch the surface. Colm, tell us about the gig now.
Well, we have a gig on New Year's Day.
Yeah,
Dublin
Keela.
Castle. Yes, Keela and friends and all. And we have dates leading up to New Year as well. We have
Where can we find that information?
Keela.ie, Dundalk, Waterford, Ballycotton, Bantry, Galway, and then New Year's Day.
New Year's Day, and that's an afternoon gig. That's 1 to 5 in Dublin Castle, and there's no tickets for that.
You apply for
tickets. Free of charge, though.
Yeah, it's free of charge.
I always have a problem with free of charge tickets because people don't turn up. So I always wish that they charge 2 or 3 euro kind of to make people think that they
pay for it. Oh, I never thought of that, yeah.
Yeah, just a small amount. Give the money to charity, cover the charge.
That's a great idea, even if it was a fiver,
And yourself and Dara will be together when?
Friday. This Friday coming, Smock Alley,
Colm O'Snoody and Dara, thank you so much. Really, really enjoyed that. Take care, Dara. And Colm.
Text 51551. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.